I got out of the wrong side of the bed today. Tried to get out through the headboard. Not a good idea.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You comfortable? You want a sandwich?
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Very nice.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. It's always a pleasure to be with you for this limited amount of time on a daily basis. Makes me really happy to be with you. Anyway. It's ridiculous is what it is. I went shopping yesterday for a bulb. You know, it used to be so simple. You go to a store, any store has light bulbs. I mean, come on. I went to Walmart. You know, you ever heard of this Walmart store? Did you ever hear this Walmart thing? Yeah, it's big. It's the Amazon of brick and mortar, pretty much. So I go in there, I want to buy a light bulb, a 60-watt light bulb. It's like, give me a break. All I want is a 60-watt light bulb. I'm not asking for 150 watts. You know, I'm serious. I'm just looking for a 60-watt light bulb. What could be more common than a 60-watt light bulb? Let's not, like, make mountains out of molehills here. So I walk over to the section where they have the electrical stuff and there's this large array of light bulbs, and I've noticed really for the first time, because I haven't bought light bulbs in quite some time. Usually when I buy some light bulbs, I buy a case of them, you know, because they're light bulbs. I mean, who doesn't use a light bulb? I mean, come on. I'm not going to light a candle if I want to read a book. Come on, light bulbs, man. Light bulbs. Well, come to find out that they're just not making them anymore. What they're making now are different bulbs. There's no more light bulbs. There's these things. I don't know what you call them. They're not light bulbs. I don't know what they are. They're things that shine a little bit. They don't look like light bulbs. There's little like metal bases on them. I don't even know what they're called now. So I see the 60-watt light bulb, and it's $4. And I'm saying to myself, okay, now wait a minute. That's not a light bulb. When I was growing up and when I was an adult, light bulbs were like maybe 50 cents, maybe a dollar. I could get a six-pack of 60-watt light bulbs for maybe $2. Now there's just one light bulb, and it's $4. And I can't figure out why. Does a light bulb cook my dinner? Can I have sex with it? What would make a light bulb $4? So I ask one of the Walmart people who are walking encyclopedias. They really are. As a matter of fact, what they do is they just drag people in off the street who haven't worked before or 20 or 40 years. And they put a blue apron on them, and now they're experts in a store. Well, I didn't know those were the qualifications. Most people go to college and stuff. No, not here. We slap a blue apron on you. You're good to go. So I say, yeah, like, what's up with the light bulbs here? And they say, oh, there's no more incandescent light bulbs. Well, first of all, I was impressed that they could even say the word incandescent and probably even knew what it meant. And I thought, wow, there's a lot to this blue apron thing that they're slapping on. Wow. He said, yeah, there's no more incandescent light bulbs. There are these light bulbs. And I said, why are they so expensive? Why is it $4 for a 60-watt light bulb? And the Walmart clerk says to me, because that bulb will last 25 to 30 years in a row. That's amazing. How can a bulb last that long? Said, well, that's a technology. That's a technology. And then I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I'm going to buy a bulb that's going to outlast me. Because I don't think I'm going to necessarily be around for 30 more years. But my bulb will. What do I put the light bulb in my last will and testament? I do bequeath upon you Ron's greatest treasures. One of them is his 60-watt light bulb. I bequeath this unto you. You will take possession of Ron's 30-year 60-watt light bulb. Please care for it. Nurture it. It's worth $4. Let it live on through your legacy. And whenever you turn on that 60-watt light bulb 25 years later, think of me in your mind and in your dreams and your thoughts. I don't know. I don't quite understand it. Everything's a big deal now. What's the big deal with a light bulb? 25, 30 years. Come on. I got to tell you, so the light bulbs that I used to buy, the incandescent ones, they lasted like 2, 3, 4 years before they popped and burnt out. You know what I did? I would go to the store, I'd throw down a couple of quarters and I get a new one and we're done. Now I've got to invest in bulbs. I have to go down the bank. Can I see the loan officer, please? Yes, can I help you, Mr. Van Dam? Yes, I need to take out a loan. And for what? Would this be to buy a home, to buy a car? No, I need a 60-watt light bulb. I'm thinking of getting maybe 2 or 3 of them at a time. Whoa, Mr. Van Dam, slow down. I don't know what your assets are, but that's crazy. I know. What do you have as collateral, Mr. Van Dam? I have a 40-watt light bulb. Should last about another 6 weeks. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't understand the light bulb thing. I have a friend. Well, was a friend, not a friend anymore, because Trump supporter, and I don't talk to those people anymore. But anyway, I had a friend. He was an attorney. And when he learned that the incandescent light bulbs were going to not be manufactured anymore, He tried to buy all of them that were left in the world. He just loved his light bulbs, as I do as well. He bought cases and cases and cases of them. I don't know. This is why he was my friend, because I thought that was really fun and cute. But I thought, you know, like, what the hell's wrong with you? Now I understand. I would have done the same thing. I don't know. I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed by so many things. I don't know if it's because life has changed so drastically in the past 10 years. I was watching a commercial on television yesterday. I think it's Experian or some kind of company that protects your identity. I don't think I have to worry about that because I don't think anybody would want to be me. It's like an identity thief. So we've got all the information on Ron Van Dam. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want that identity. I don't think I have to worry about that. I don't think I have an identity that really anybody would really want to steal. Ew, I don't want that identity. Ew. Not that one. Get a doctor or something. Not that one. So anyway, so they're saying, you know, maybe your information is floating around in the dark web. I don't know where the dark web is. I don't know where it is on my computer. I can't find a button for it. So I don't know what to press. I've tried the alternate and the shift key, and nothing comes up dark web-wise. And can you see in the dark web? Maybe it has a lot of information and data, but can you see it if it's... I don't know why it's dark. Maybe they need a 60-watt light bulb that'll last for 30 years. So I'm thinking now, oh my God, now I've got to protect myself against hackers. When I was growing up, my parents, all they did was, when they went out of the house, they locked the front door. I mean, that was pretty much it, as far as security was concerned. Not too many people when I was growing up had, like, security systems. There were no cameras in the house. Oh my God, the only cameras were these Polaroid land cameras where you take a picture and then the little sheet comes out in the back of the camera. I mean, there were no cameras for protection. Give me a break. You just locked the front door, and not even all the time. I mean, anybody could have walked in your house, but they didn't. They just didn't. It depends on where you live, I suppose. But you locked the front door if you wanted some security in your home. That's all. Period. Done. Finished. You know? Now I've got to protect my desktop, my laptop, my smartphone, my stupid phone, my tablets, I got to protect my social security number, my identity. Ron, your identity can be stolen. That's enough. That's enough. Don't you dare come up to me and tell me that someone could steal my identity. Now you've just kind of reached the top of the mountain as far as absurdity is concerned. But people do it. They actually do it. Now I've got to protect everything. So thanks, world, for giving me the gift of the internet and then making me pay zillions of dollars to protect myself from it. And yet people fancifully go to Facebook and they tell the world everything about them. Facebook asks for it. Where'd you go to school? What's your parents' name? Where were you born? How old are you? Tell me everything about you so that people can find out about you and steal your identity. Going on vacation, tell us where you're going and how long you're going to be out of the house. Facebook just is like, it's a plethora of it's like you just spilling the beans about yourself in front of everybody. Let's put some pictures of me up and everything that I do, and let's let everybody know who my friends are and who I talk to and my moods and pictures of me sitting in the bathtub playing with a little boat with a lot of soap bubbles around me, and a picture of me with my girlfriend, and a picture of me in a club so you know exactly where I go on weekends, and a picture of me standing next to a plate of food. Here is the food that I even eat. I want to protect my identity. I don't want anybody to know about me. But here's everything you want to know about me, including what food I like. I mean, come on, kids. You're playing into their hands. Do you know what life is now? Life is a scam. You're living a scam if you don't use your brains. You're being scammed into things every single day. Every single minute, you're falling for the shell game. And of course, the leader of the scam is in the White House right now, so it all kind of makes sense. But anything you hear, anything you're told, everything you do is scrutinized and used against you to manipulate. And if you don't see that, then you're kind of a little delusional. Because it's what actually happens. Do you ever go online and buy a television, let's say, a little television set? Go online, you buy a television set. Or you go to some website and you're interested in buying a television, you don't buy the television set, but you're looking at television sets just to see how much they cost and what the features are. Maybe someday I want a television set. And then you go on Facebook, or you go on some social media thing, or you're just like, you know, looking through the web there, you know, just shopping through the web. And all of a sudden on the right-hand side of your screen is a whole column of television sets and all the features of television sets. And you didn't ask to look at television sets at that particular time. Your computer, the web, is reminding you, remember like 3 weeks ago you were looking for television sets? Just want to remind you, here are some television sets. How did you remember that? You're stalking me. I can't look at a website for television sets without you stalking the fact that I looked for television sets. Now you're stalking me. The web stalks you. It knows what you want, what you're looking for, what your tastes are. It suggests things that you might want to buy based on things you already bought. Is that a convenience to you? No. It's a pain in the ass. Where's the little X in the corner that I can click so the thing goes away? Oh my God, it came back. Oh my God, it comes back next week. Oh my God, I can't get rid of it. You're being stalked by companies and by people and by hackers and by bad dark web people. You're being stalked by your friends. You got a Facebook account? These aren't your friends. These are a bunch of annoying people that you let into your house, your house of social media. You let them in. You said, okay, you clicked, okay, I'll be friends with them. You let them in. You did it. You did it. You don't know half these people. But they know all about you. They know your every move, your every like, your every dislike. They know your anger. They know your love. They know your tender points. They know how much you love dogs. They know how to get through to you. They know how to manipulate you. It's not hard to do. You invited them into your home. And then you showed them pictures of yourself having sex. You did everything. I don't understand you. I don't understand it. How did this happen? How did it happen to the extent that you not only allowed it, you invited it? Come on in, abuse me. Come on, everybody. Come on. Here's my life. Oh, you know too much about me. I wonder how that happened. It's no wonder I'm grumpy.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on. Isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Today we're going to talk about acne. Thank you very much. That's nice. I tried to do it a few shows ago, but I was on such a roll, I just decided not to do the interview. So we rescheduled it for today. But acne is really like, it's unfortunate. It's not something you picked on. You just happen to have it. Your skin is not in top shape right now. It might be later on in life, but the very time you need your skin to be beautiful, it's not. And when do you need that as much? When you start socializing in school. When these annoying little brats, these insensitive little adolescent people, they're feeling their way, and the way to feel is to make you look bad so that they can look good. And they will tease you and disrespect you and make you feel like crap. Because that's what little kids do. The only way I can feel good about myself is to stand next to you and to put you down and make you feel horrible about yourself. And if you have something that's very pickable, like acne, which happens to be on your face, you're a target. When I was growing up, people that wore glasses were targets. If you wore glasses, people picked on you. You look like a dork, a nerd, an idiot, schmuck. Now glasses are sexy. And if you're a nerd, you're making $200,000 a year. So that switched. But usually in school, kids don't even know that. Kids will just pick on people that have any kind of deformity whatsoever. And deformity is not really a deformity, it's just a fact. Your skin happens to be bad and you need it to be treated. But the process of that is not great. And you remember being picked on and being bullied the rest of your life. We've talked about this before. Bullying is one of the cruelest things that a human being can do to another at any age, Donald. There's one guy that never grew up, huh? Let's choose the one poster child for a grown man that never grew up and put him in the White House in the most powerful position in the world. Nice job. Nice job. Good going. Good going there. Again, policies aside, good going. Good going there. Anyway, bullies should be jailed. I don't care what age they are, even if they're 10 years old. Put them in jail. Put them in jail. Make them learn that you cannot treat your fellow human being in that manner. That is mental assault and battery. You can't do it. It's abuse. It's mental abuse. It's mental abuse. It's mental abuse. That is punishable by law. It's mental abuse. Why should a child... Oh, it's just a child. He's just a child. She's just a child. No. You teach them a lesson. You throw their ass in jail at 10 years old. Yeah, a juvenile, you know. Put them in there and scare the hell out of them to the point where they will never degrade or insult another human being again because of the way they look, the color of their skin. You can't tease them. You can't degrade them. You can't bully them. It's mental abuse. You will be jailed. You will be fined. Teach them a lesson. Not this, oh, they're just children. Bull. No, they're just human beings is what they are. And this is a time to teach them when they learn their lessons. So don't give me that. Don't give me that. Don't you dare give me that. So what do you do about acne? What do you do about that horrible thing? That thing that shows on your face. What could be more obvious? Well, there's ways around it. Let's speak to our guests. Hi, Ann.
Good morning, Ron.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Not so bad so far, so that's a good thing. Ann Flenner is an award-winning school counselor, Florida Counseling and Association past president, and she joins us now as we prepare to get those kids back into school. And... yeah, there's so many topics surrounding getting the kids back. I think New Year's should be like Labor Day because that's when things all start up again. And as there has been a survey done recently of teenagers, which is between 15 and 19 years old. What did that find?
Yeah, the survey really focused on teens, acne, and social media. And, you know, we've known for a long time that acne can impact a student's self-esteem and their social life, their family relationships, even academics, you know, all that good stuff. But what we didn't know is now with this rise of social media, how it was impacting these teens. And, you know, this survey was commissioned by Cutanea Life Sciences, and it was really the first of its kind to delve into how the rise of social media has impacted those teens who struggle with acne. And one of the things that the survey found is, of course, almost all teens have some kind of social media account, whether it's Snapchat or Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and that's how they communicate. We found that over half, 51% of teens stated that having social media actually makes having acne harder.
Yeah.
So, you know, in our previous world, you know, when kids, that last bell rang, they could go home and then they were done for the day. But in our 24/7 world, it just makes things so much harder. So.
I was just going to say, yes, there's wonderful things about social media, but there's tons of horrible things about it, too. And you're right. I was just going to say, when the school day was over, you could somewhat go home and retreat with your own friends and be in a different life. But now it's like it's there always. And acne happens on your face a lot of times, and that's the place where people can see it. It's not good. And I know you agree with me, but what happens to you when you're a teenager sticks with you the rest of your life. Those few years have a total impact on all the rest of them, you know, through your entire experience.
It absolutely does. And, you know, our goal as parents is to say, it's going to be okay, you're going to outgrow it. But what our teens really need is validation that, yeah, this is really hard. And, you know, sometimes days are going to be really tough. And, you know, don't forget, acne is treatable. So it's really important that parents, you know, talk to them about maybe visiting a dermatologist, seeing if there's a great treatment for that student, and, you know, not being afraid to have that tough conversation sometimes.
But that's the flip side, Anne. And I know you agree that the technology and medical technology has changed so much since I was a kid, where if you had acne, you pretty much had to just wait and see what happened. Now there are treatments, and I don't know if many people are aware that dermatologists are like all over the place now. When I was growing up, it was like, what is that? What's a dermatologist?
Right. They are everywhere. And so it's really important that, you know, you can start with a primary doctor, but a really great place that probably has great information right about this is the American Academy of Dermatology, and their website is aad.org. I would tell parents to go visit that website because I'm sure they will find lots of great resources about, you know, dermatology and areas, specialists, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. There's a psychology to this too, isn't there? It's a physical situation that can be treated, but but as it goes on, the psychology of it is pretty important too.
Yeah, it really is, and it's important for parents to kind of look for those warning signs, those changes in behavior. So, you know, if your student used to take lots of selfies, as we hear, you know, and now they are not taking any pictures, if they're avoiding, you know, being in photographs with their family, if they're untagging themselves, they're not engaging in social media at all, which is a change for them, just to be aware that, something must be going on for them.
Yeah, although there are apps now that can make your face look totally different, which is kind of odd, but whatever.
Yeah, filtering. Yeah, it's called. Yeah, they will filter all their pictures, change them, make them into puppy dogs, whatever the case may be.
You get rid of the acne, but you still got the puppy dog ears. So it doesn't.
Right, and the flip side is you may change your appearance in that picture, but still those kids live with it. And social media is always there, and it's a constant reminder. So it's a tough one.
It is a very tough one. Are kids, are teenagers reluctant to discuss this with their parents?
Yeah, we know teens, they're reluctant to talk about anything with their parents. But, you know, I really want to tell them is just to reach out to any adult that they trust, whether it's a teacher or a coach, just to say, hey, you know, I'm really struggling with this. And again, for parents to be vigilant and kind of aware of these warning signs, because our kids may not just come out and say, you know, I'm struggling with this. This is really bothering me.
Yeah. So your advice to teens would be to tell somebody about this, and they can probably help you resolve it.
Right, because in today's day and age, this is treatable. You know, acne is treatable. So, you know, developing that plan, it'll give those kids a sense of control that, you know what, I can do something about this. And sometimes in what a world doesn't feel like it's in control. So,
this is off the cuff here, but females can sometimes put makeup on. Guys kind of can't. But I don't know if teenagers wear makeup, don't they? Do they?
Many do, absolutely, and you know, that's something that the survey didn't delve into, but I wonder how we could look into, you know, other ways that our kids are trying to avoid just being, you know, out there and feeling uncomfortable with their appearance.
Yeah. But makeup doesn't treat it, though. Makeup just covers it up, and that's a bad idea in today's world to cover things up, and just take care of it, don't cover up. Yeah.
Right, yeah, when there's treatments available, you know, they should definitely seek that route. Absolutely. Instead of, again, filtering themselves, putting makeup on. You know, we love our kids. We don't want them to feel anxiety over their appearance. They're perfect the way they are.
Right, nor to have it affect them the rest of their lives either. Where do we all go for more information about this?
Yeah, definitely. Again, for the dermatology side of it, is definitely check out the American Academy of Dermatology website at aad.org. And if you'd like to learn more about the company that commissioned this survey, you would go to Cutanea Life Sciences at cutanea.com.
Okay. And could you spell that, Cutanea? I can do it, or you can.
Sure. You got it. It's cutanea.com.
Perfect. Ann, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. You guys have a great school year. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, there you go. All right, I'm out of time for today. Actually, I'm never really out of time. I just get tired of doing it. So this is enough. This is enough. This is quite enough. This will be enough for today. I, of course, support you in every way, shape, or form. So I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And even if you don't have a wonderful day, I'm still on your side. Unless you're a horrible person, then I denounce you greatly. But if you're a good-hearted person, a respectful person, I wish you peace. My suggestion to you is, before you go out into the world today, put some pants on. Otherwise, not good, not good, not good. No, put some pants on.